right, we are going to actually be going to Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46. Give me one moment. All right. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yesterday afternoon and evening, I was back home with my parents celebrating my longtime best friend who's getting married next month. And it was such a fun time. It was such a great time to see him, to see them, and It was just a really good man shower, too, if I can say that. We threw axes. My dad made like an axe throwing station because, again, he can make everything. We played cornhole. We ate some good food. We inspected the new chainsaw my friend just got. We talked about the old days, and we caught up on the new days of life. At one point, my mom pulled out a photo album, and it was all the pictures of us growing up together. And it contained just pictures of me and my friend from days that felt like light years away, especially after this year. And as I sat around and relived old memories and stories and caught up with the new stories, I looked out and I saw all the new development that's happening around my parents' house that I don't hardly recognize where they even are anymore. And I thought about just how much life changes on us. Sometimes it changes so fast, in the blink of a moment. Life can be one way, and then it can quickly go into another. And it feels like you just can't keep up. Or sometimes it changes very slowly, small changes over a gradual period of time, so you might look up one day and wonder where it all went. At least that's been my experience. And certainly I think we've seen that in a lot of ways this year, both collectively and personally, I think it just can be very disorienting for us sometimes. But all of these big changes and events we've faced this year are also just a reminder of the fact that all these changes don't just happen in isolation, but things have been happening for years now. Change is a part of life for us in many ways. And perhaps change in a lot of ways is very unsettling for us as a country and as a church. I feel like in a lot of ways, even as individuals, we can sway sometimes in the midst of all these kind of changes that are going on and wondering about the world that currently is, while maybe sometimes wishing for the world that was and wondering about the world that might come to be. And in the midst of all this morning, I'm here to remind myself, but also to remind all of us where our hope lies and to call us back to the city of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present and a well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble around us. We know in the Bible that the sea in ancient days was a symbol and a source of chaos and disorder in the world. The psalmist here presents this picture of the world seemingly being threatened by the waters of chaos, the same waters that God created order and life in at the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, the same waters that the Spirit hovered over, the waters of chaos, the same waters that Jesus walked on to his disciples, the same waters that he quieted the storm with just a word. The earth and the mountains and the places of strength and the places of sure ground are shaking right now, and the waters are roaring and foaming all around us. What will happen to us? What's going to become of our land and our people? What is the world coming to? Where is God? The world sometimes feels like it's on our side, on its side. And perhaps we can feel the same way sometimes. And as we've watched chaos, so much chaos and so many literal storms rip up our city, and as we've watched people being killed in the street and riots and protests being gripped throughout the world, and as we continue to watch the polarization of politics and of people, of a pandemic changing the way in which we relate to one another and even interact with one another, and even the way we experience church, the waters of chaos and change are foaming up and swirling around us. Can you feel them? Can you sense them? The world seems to be drowning in the collective anxiety of these chaotic waters as things change. And perhaps we too, like the psalmist here, wonder, where are you, God? Does God not see us? Does God not hear the cries of anxiety or the cries of the hurting? Does God not care? Is God not our refuge and our strength? At this point in the psalm, we are told to pause and to consider these things. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The psalmist reminds the people that God has not left us. That we are to remember that God is still our hope and still our refuge. That God is still among us and in the midst of the city. Notice that the psalmist says that God won't quiet all the changes and the chaos around the city necessarily. But in fact, perhaps God may even be contributing to some of the chaos in some ways. The nations are in an uproar and the kingdoms of the world are teetering and tottering. All the places where we are tempted to place our hope are failing. Our political systems, which so many have placed their hope, are faltering, even as I see more and more people make a religion out of them. Our economic systems have been a wild ride recently, have they not? So many people, so many celebrities or leaders that we raise up and tend to idolize as a culture can fall on us without us even giving it a second thought. The culture so often doesn't seem to live up to the expectations we like to place on them. The values of the nation continue to shift. Perhaps the earth is melting away in many ways. Perhaps even the church, as it's always been, is being forced to reconsider what it is and what it will be in the coming days. And perhaps some of it is because the waters of chaos that are in our world, and perhaps some of it is because God is speaking and stripping us away from all the idols and all the false hopes that we cling to, all the prideful ways that we think we know best, all the callous indifference that we can sometimes show to those in pain and suffering in our world. in all the ways in which we live distracted and live out our relationship with God as less important as so many other things in our lives. The psalmist cries out that perhaps some of what's happening in the world is because God is indeed at work, melting away the things and those that want to remain as is and not willing to transform into what may be. And at this point again, the psalmist tells us to pause and think on these things. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spears. He burns the shields with fire. Hear the Lord speak this morning, church. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. God destroys the means of war. God destroys the traditional weapons of fear and of destruction. While we are so tempted to fight back against all the chaos and against all of our enemies with our own weapons, while we are tempted to give in to the outraged culture that exists all around us, while we are tempted to fire the arrows of burning critique against our enemies online or when we see them, when we are tempted to allow ourselves to be eaten up by the sensationalism of the news media and rail on and on about the problems of the world, God doesn't command us to get around the fortress of the city and prepare for war. He commands us to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am who I've always said that I am. I have been worrying about the collective heart of our church and the collective heart of the church throughout our world recently because I have been worrying about my own collective heart. I have been wrestling with the ways in which I tend to put God off and think of and come to God as a last resort sometimes. Or I have been tempted to look at His Word and think about all the ways in which it won't work instead of the ways in which God commands us to see His Word and to believe it and to hang on to it like it is our last hope, because I believe it is our last hope. How tempting it is to begin my day or to spend my downtime moments anywhere else but in quiet prayer or thinking of the ways in which I can serve my brothers and sisters here in church and in the world. I worry so much about the politics of our country while so often I get caught up in that, neglecting the God that's right in front of me. Neglecting to recognize how I am so attached sometimes to the screens that are all around me, pulling me away from being in the moment with God. I can be so often burdened by the demands placed on me and forget to share those burdens with the Lord. I worry far too often about how we can go into the world and affect change as apprentices of Jesus, neglecting to see just how much of the way in which the world has worked its change in my life. Do we know, once again, what it means to follow Jesus? Do we know and are we committed to knowing Him, to loving Him, and to loving our church family, to loving our neighbors sacrificially? Are we seeking to find the newest kind of life hack to get us to that place where we can find relief or way in which our church can look good, striving by our human effort and going to the end of our rope while neglecting the traditional things that the church is founded on? Prayer, serving, not just studying the Word, but embracing the Word as life. Are we committed to confessing our sins, not out of self-hate or self-deprecation, but out of the love for God, knowing that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness because He loves us? Because the hate was poured out on Jesus on the cross, not on us as His people. Let us be still and know God once again, church. Let us look at the remnant that might be left or that might be in this world and recognize that it's people just like us that God has always, always worked through. Let us put down some of the ways of the world that we have been trying to use to fight back with and recommit ourselves, not just to our mission, but also to our apprenticeship of Jesus, of struggling with the ways in which he calls us to go beyond ourselves and to live in faith together, to stretch our limits of compassion to greater and greater heights, to embrace our enemies, to embrace those that we don't agree with, and instead seek once again to speak the truth in love. God is our refuge and our strength, nothing else. God is a very present and well-proven help in times of trouble because Jesus has come before us and has been well-proven on the cross. When all else fails, he does not. When all else passes away, he remains not on the cross, but on the throne. And let us remember that. As the world shifts and changes, as the waters of chaos come up to our ankles or to our waist, or maybe even over our heads, may we embrace the fact that God has brought us to his throne. And perhaps that God is still at work, wanting to speak and to protect, and calling us once again to place our hope and our lives in nothing less than the city of God. Because it's only the city of God that will remain when all else fails. As a church, can we be recommitted once again to following Jesus? Can we be once again recommitted to his word? Can we be once again recommitted to prayer, to crying out together? I think we need more crying out together. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill our hearts because we are at our limit. I struggled so much this week with knowing what to preach because I felt like I had 17,000 things to preach and I couldn't grasp it, and I just got to the end of my rope and I just wanted to say, God, I'm here crying out to you. We need you, Lord. We need you. Let us remember the city of God will remain. I don't know what else will. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I believe that God will still be with us. And let us cry out together. Let's pray. God, we need you. God, it is not popular to follow you, Lord. It's not popular to speak of you. God, it's not seen highly, Lord, to believe and to live out your kind of ethics in the world. God, it is difficult to live in faith. God, we are so tempted by so many things to put you second. But Lord, we are here this morning as your people because we need you. We want you, Lord. We want your spirit to come. God, we want to see these dry bones come to life once again. We want to be still and know that you're God. We want to be people that are committed to doing whatever it takes, Lord, to sing your Holy Spirit of love and grace and truth and conviction poured out in our own lives. God, help us. We can't do it alone. We can't do it without you. Rally around us, God, as we rally around one another. Lord, this morning I pray that if those are here that are burdened, that are weighed down by things greater than themselves, Lord, would you come and relieve them of it? Would you come and let them know that they're not alone, Lord? Would you come and fill their hearts, Lord, fill their very own spirits and let them know that you have brought good gifts in this church that you want to see come to life? God, that you have messages and that you have miracles and that you have power that you want to see brought to life among us and through us and for us to be witness to in the world. God, where we are filled with fear, God, replace that with faith. Where we are tempted to think that we are alone, help us, God, to know that we aren't. Where we are tempted to see, Lord, that you are on the cross, and that you remain there, Lord, let us be reminded that you're on the throne, Lord. You are on the throne. So, God, we're just here this morning not because we have any answers, but because we believe that you do. And, Lord, we're here because we want you to speak. Speak, O Lord, speak. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Let's worship, y'all. Let's worship. You have your song there in the bulletin. Sing it out. Sing it out. If you need to come down and just be before the Lord, come on. If you need to just rally around someone right now, do it. Just give yourself over to the Lord this morning, whatever that looks like. And know that I'm here going to be doing the same thing. Let's worship the Lord.